Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from our God in heaven and his incarnate Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This year's Advent sermon series is entitled Voices from the Edge. When you look at Scripture, you see that the men who penned its words were on the edge. Not in a psychological way, as though they could at any moment lose it. Rather, they were on the edge of society and society's idea of what is normal. And again, not because they deliberately tried to be odd, but because they faithfully spoke the word of God in the midst of this hostile world. As voices from the edge, these men provided a different way of looking at the world around us, and an even better and fuller way of understanding all that Jesus Christ had come to do. Tonight's voice from the edge is that of the Apostle John. John and his brother James were the sons of thunder. They were two of Jesus' inner circle of three very close disciples. And John, with his fellow apostle, St. Peter, were the leaders of the early church, in accordance with the words from the book of Acts. What made John a voice from the edge was his status later on in his life. As a faithful proclaimer of Christ and him crucified, John became a target of the not-so-receptive Roman government. As a result of this, John was forced into exile and lived out his days in the island of Patmos. So exiled and outcast from society, John received the vision recorded in the book of Revelation, and so speaks to us from the edge. It is toward the end of that grand vision of St. John that he sees New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Earlier in that vision, in Revelation chapter 19, we have the image of the marriage feast of the Lamb. And as we see, the Lamb is viewed with the bride presented to him. Paul makes it clear in his writings to the Corinthians that the bride is the church, for whom Jesus Christ has shed his blood, given up his life, that he might make her holy in God's sight. Talk of brides, of grooms, of weddings, in our day, leads to talk of mass preparation. Preparation, of course, is the constant ongoing theme for us in our season of Advent, as we prepare ourselves for the coming of the Christ. Preparation is the constant ongoing theme for any bride and groom as they prepare for their wedding feast. And we all have known brides and grooms at some point in our lives, and we even have some weddings coming up soon here at St. John. From this knowledge, we understand the immensity of all the preparations that go into a wedding celebration. The service itself needs to be planned. Floral designs need to be picked. Appropriate music must be considered. A photographer or videographer is selected. Decorations are put in place. The right cake is chosen and baked. A reception venue is selected and prepared. Decisions are made about food choices, and then that food is ready. Transportation is arranged for those out-of-town guests, and accommodations are secured for those same visitors. Now, the bride herself has her own preparations that she must make, properly clothing herself in her gown, adorning herself with the appropriate makeup, making sure that her shoes are right for this grand occasion, picking out jewelry that complements herself and her attire, and getting that hair just right for the grand moment, the wedding celebration. Many, many preparations are needed and made in anticipation and in order for the wedding celebration to occur. But truth be told, none of all of that happens without the bride. And there is no bride without a groom. And while the bride accomplishes all of these amazing tasks in the role of the bride, none of them make the bride herself. She cannot do anything to make herself into a bride. Rather, she is made a bride by the very nature of the proposal from the groom. Without the groom and his offer of marriage, there can be no bride. Likewise, we as the church make ready for the coming of the Christ. He, our Lord, is the groom. The church is his bride. The preparations that we make for his return on that last day, when he comes in his glory, in the glory of the Father, in the glory of the angels, we make as we gather here week in and week out in this place. For it is here that we hear that forgiving word of Christ, our groom, spoken over us. It is here that we receive the life-giving body and blood of Christ, which was given and shed for the very life of his bride. Our devotions throughout the week, our studying of the Bible, our mutual conversation with fellow Christians, our moments spent in prayer, all serve to ready us for Christ our Lord. And most especially is our gathering together in church as the one body of Christ, his bride. Now, even while we go on accomplishing all of this and waiting for our groom to arrive, none of it happens without the groom himself. We, as sinners, cannot make ourselves into the bride of Christ. It is only by the very nature of his proposal to us, his becoming one with us in human flesh and human blood, which we celebrate this Christmas. It's only in that that we can become the bride of Christ. And so we are his bride, the church, because he has chosen us, purchased and won us from all sin, from all death, from the power of the devil by his holy, precious blood. Now remember that John saw the bride adorned for her husband. As the bride of Christ, we are in constant need of adornment because of our sin. The voice from the edge calls us to see that sin in ourselves and the sin that surrounds us. But sinners do not like to hear that they are sinners. And those who speak thusly to us are cast aside onto the edge. But it doesn't take much, especially at this time of year, to look around and see the reality of sin. As we enter the stores and the malls, for example, we are faced with that reality. We are enticed to buy what we really do not need, and a lot of the time, what we don't even really want. We spend more on ourselves and our loved ones without even considering the needs of those who really do need help. We greedily want more than what we thought we ever would. We envy those who get to buy and receive the bigger and better gifts. We go overboard on our gifts to our children and to our loved ones. We spend ourselves into debt. Or we do not spend it all and we hoard it all for ourselves. Wherever you might fall on that list, you realize that sin is ever present in your life, not just this time of the year. Because of its presence, you are in constant need of forgiveness, of adornment with the gospel of Jesus Christ, even though you are already his bride, made so in baptism. Makeup is needed. Jewelry is needed. A special gown is needed, all to adorn you as the bride of Christ. And that beautifying happens in the gospel when you hear it preached to you that Jesus, your Jesus, loves you, has chosen you. He has washed you clean in the waters of baptism. He has clothed you in the robe of his most glorious righteousness. He feeds you with his own body and blood, a foretaste of that great feast of the wedding of the Lamb that is still to come. These words come to you from the edge, as they are not embraced by the world around us, but rejected by it. Even as you, the very bride of Christ, are not embraced by the world, but are rejected by it. Greater than that, though, you are embraced by God as his chosen people, for he has chosen to dwell with you, to be your God, and to have you as his people, now and forever, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now the peace that does surpass all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ. Amen.